Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
If you will indulge me for just one moment as I introduce our guest this morning, I feel like I wanted to share with you some names. Some of these names will mean nothing to you, but I'll tell you why they mean something to me in a moment. Ted and Hansel Vibert, Charles Crank, Fred Leader, Truman Smith, George Eagler, Charles Hackett, Ben Aker, Richard Harrison, Jim Munson, Tom Pano, Jack Strom, Glenn Duncan. These individuals all are part of a generation of ministers who have spoken into my life, and let me put it in this way. I've been privileged to walk in their shadow and to stand in their on their shoulders. I was raised by a factory worker, and my call to ministry and the training that I received came in pieces from all of these different men. And one of them is here this morning that I have watched his life and observed his life for my whole ministry. And it's a great privilege for me to be able to introduce you to Johnny Garrison. He's just a man, but a good one. And his life and my life have kind of crossed in different ways many times throughout the last 40 years. Johnny served for many years. How many? 18, 20 years, Lakeview? 24 years at Lakeview. I served in for just two, but in his shadow there. He was with Tom Pano at the time where God's blessings were flowing on the church and it grew to mega church. And I was there the last 2 years of Tom Pano's ministry. And in the years that I was there, the sanctuary was filled to capacity for two services every Sunday morning and a service on Sunday night. Johnny was called out by the Lord to go to a troubled church in Marion. And the Lord used him to put the pieces back together and give stable leadership. And that's been part of the journey that the Lord has had us on for the last 20 years. Also, when I started Dayspring on the north side of Indianapolis, Johnny and Betty live on the west side of Indy, but many, many, many Sundays came over in support of that new pioneer work and gave of their talents and also financially in support of that new church plant. In addition to all of that, just the privilege of watching Johnny minister to the church. His love for people becomes very evident, and I know you will share in that this morning. But this morning, I introduce him as a friend, as a mentor, as a man of God. And Johnny, it's good to have you here this morning. Would you help me welcome him? We were with Brother Crank yesterday at my mom's birthday party, and I told Brother Crank, and he is always concerned over this church. And I told him, I said, well, the church probably will not exist anymore after this Sunday. And Charles just, his face just emptied. He said, well, what's happened? I said, well, Johnny's preaching. And of course, he's a dear friend of both of us, so you have to understand. Welcome, my brother.
Thank you.
Take your liberty.
Have I got this thing right, Bill?
Well.
This way. Testing. One, two.
Is he on?
Test. One. Two. On. Off.
I'm going to have to put my glasses on so I can see. Yeah. Let's see.
The on is over here.
Easy. So. Okay. On. You got it on. So.
Yeah.
Are you guys have it on up there?
Testing. One, two.
I put new batteries in it, but let me get some more. Here.
Well, while you're doing that, I'll play.
Okay.
I'll play.
Play first?
Okay. Yeah. Them that you can go to the Lord and he's there to help you. Thank you, sir, very much. I just am so grateful for the faithfulness of God. Now, I haven't played this piano at all, and so they're all different. And I am a plunker, but I'll plunk a little bit and see what I can get going here, and then we'll look into God's Word today. How's that? Okay? All right.
Come on.
Thank you.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let me just play a little bit of my tribute, a wonderful song of praise to the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. What a great God. This morning, the Lord has given me a word for the church. And I like that. I preach sermons, but I love to preach the word. And so, the 27th Psalm is one of my favorites in all of the Bible. And it shares with us some wonderful opportunities to help us. And that's what the Word of God is for, it's to help us. Sometimes it corrects us. Sometimes it comforts us. Sometimes it guides us. In fact, all the time it is there for us, for our good. And in this psalm, and you can tell by looking at me that I'm a King James guy. Everything that I ever memorized is King James, and I still do. But in this 13th verse of this 27th psalm, David says, I had fainted. I had fainted. And it's in italics in the King James. And one day as I was looking at this, it just jumped out and grabbed me that David, this guy that's so powerful in so many ways and yet so human in so many ways, makes a statement. I have fainted. Let me ask you this. Have you ever fainted? How many have ever fainted? Well, there's several. We have enough for a corral. It's such a marvelous thing to faint. I mean, well, you can just stand up in front of people and just go. It's an ego builder. You know what I'm saying? You want to run, hide somewhere. How many of you guys ever got shots in the service? You're lined up. Oh, yeah. Anybody ever faint when that happened? I've got a hand. What is it causes us to faint? Well, all kinds of things can happen. My first experience at fainting was when I was 15 years of age. I began speaking for my dad at my home church when I was 13. And then this was my first big out of my home church experience to preach the gospel. And boy, was I ever ready. Oh my goodness. I sat up on the platform in this church in the month of July where there was no air conditioning and no microphones and lots of people. 14 churches, I remember distinctly, in that service, and every one of them had a special number. And some of them they had written in themselves. And they had 14 verses. And they sang, and they sang, and they played, and they sang, and I sweat, and I was nervous, and I jumped up when I was introduced, and I ran to that platform, and I preached on Jonah for 10 minutes, and went, phew. Thank God there wasn't a whale there. I'd have landed right in the middle of him. But that was my first experience, and it was a great one, I tell you. I looked for a place to get out of there after they washed my face off with a wet rag. And I got out, went to my dad's car, and just sat there. And he finally came out, and I didn't say, how'd I do? He knew how I did, and so did everybody else there. And then I moved on from that experience, and thank God, after about 2 years of the devil jumping up on my shoulder, every time I get up to preach and say, I'm going to put you out, my friend. I finally got over that and came to Evansville, Indiana, and took my first church when I was 23 years old. And wouldn't you know, month of July, hot, no air conditioning. I did have a microphone, I think, there. And I got up and preached, and guess what? I fainted. It was wonderful. I tell you, they were so proud of me. Our pastor, look at him. Get him up, somebody. He might be dead. I don't know. And then I went to Harrison, Ohio, and I was in the basement of that church when they elected me pastor, and so I was there to build the top on. And so I would work days in the mornings with guys that work nights, and they'd come right to the church from work, and they'd work a while, did a lot of volunteer stuff on that building. And then I would work nights with the guys that work days, and they'd come right from work, and they'd work at the church. And in the afternoons, I'd run and make hospital calls and all that stuff. And so We finally came to our opening day. It was marvelous. I mean, the church was full. The air conditioners were mounted right up on each side, and they were blowing hot air. But I didn't tell anybody what the deal was. We never did get them hooked up for the opening day, so we just turned them on, and they'd almost blow your hair off, but they didn't do anything except stir hot air. How well I realized that when I fainted. And here's this precious congregation of people that I have come to lead to the promised land, and I'm flat on my back on the floor. Well, fainting. I know what it's like. Now, what is fainting, for goodness sake? I mean, you know, if David had this experience, can we recall anything about David that would make this a little unusual? Well, yeah, we can. He killed a lion and a bear and a giant with his bare hands, almost. The giant was a little different. He had a stone in a slingshot. That's a big deal, isn't it? He was armed for that one. But David is a man that did some mighty exploits, amazing things. And here he said, I almost fainted. And I've just got to share this with you. These young people, I want to share this with them because I think they'll enjoy this. Y'all supposed to just really laugh when I'm fit, okay? David, Goliath. He's out there defying the armies of God, how big he is. And here goes David, down across the brook, picks up 5 stones, had a slingshot. Must not have been one of those like I used to make out of inner tube and a twig out of a tree. But it was one of these that you swing, evidently. And he swung that thing and let it go. And it hit Goliath, that 9-footer plus, right where he was unprotected. And down he went. And you know what Goliath said when he fell? Nothing like that has ever entered my mind before. I think that's what it's... No, it doesn't say that. But I'm sure that's what he said. He must have said that. Because it took him out. Now, this is the guy that says, I had fainted. Now, come on, David. Why would you say that? What is fainting? Well, here's what it is. I have a definition for you, and that'll help. Fainting is to become sluggish, weak, feeble, without courage or hope, without vigor or enthusiasm, to become half-hearted, lacking brightness, vividness, clearness, feeling weak, dizzy, exhausted. You know, a lot of things can affect us to make us feel faint. They can. Your health can affect you and make you feel faint. You get too hot, don't breathe quick enough, or don't get enough water, or whatever. That can cause you to faint. Stress. Oh, man, another day. That'll cause you to faint. How many look forward to Monday morning? I get to go back to work. Huh? Not everybody does. But I also like it when I'm in traffic and these cars pull up beside me and they got boom boxes mounted in the back window. And it shakes the whole car. And here I am in my Honda, and I roll the windows in the summertime. Roll the windows down, crank on a little music. I kind of like Southern gospel, of course. Tell that probably when I played a little bit. And I watch these guys. They're sitting there, and they're revving the engine. That thing hits green, and there they go. And I just come along And the next light, red light, guess who's sitting beside him? Now, driving is a marvelous place to feel faint. Traffic in Indianapolis is unbelievable. I'm telling you, it's crazy. If you're going to drive 55 miles an hour on the interstate in Indianapolis, you better put a ramp on top of your car because they'll run right smack over you. It's unbelievable. And sometimes, coming down here this morning, I was doing what I'm supposed to do, driving along, and I saw a red light coming behind me, and I said, why do we do this? I felt this funny feeling in my stomach. My knees got a little weak, but he came right down past me and went right on by. And I said, praise the Lord. No, I didn't. I didn't do that. He probably had to come back and pick me up out of the ditch. But don't do that. If you feel like you're going to faint when you're driving, don't do this. That's not the way to approach it. But fainting is something that all of us experience at times. And I think one of the biggest things that we experience is fear. Fear can cause you to faint. Huh? What's that noise? Johnny? Yes, Betty? What time is it? It's 3 o'clock in the morning, but I just heard something out in the kitchen. Oh, well, I'll take care of it. And then you get to thinking, walking down the hall. What if there is somebody in here? I mean, what am I going to do? I'd probably faint. That's what I'd do. So you have to have something that counteracts fear. And we live in an age where a lot of people are afraid. I just heard on the news this week on one of the talk shows, and they were talking about how many people in this generation are living in constant fear. And I'm serious about this, folks. Fear of death. Fear of what if I run out of money? Fear of what if I lose my job? Fear of what if I lose my children or my spouse or whatever. Fear is everywhere around us. But in this psalm, David not only says, I had, he didn't, but he said, I was right there. I had fainted unless. And I want to look at some unlesses with you today that will help us all out. Number one. Chapter 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Amen. So, number one, when the enemy comes in and tries to devour you with fear, thank God there are things that are provided for us that will keep us from fainting. Amen. And one of them is our salvation, which is so rich, full, and free. Amen. That wonderful knowledge of knowing that I'm right with God, that everything is okay between me and Him. If I pile that accord up somewhere on my way back home today and they say, Johnny Garrison got killed yesterday, say, is that right? And then don't do this. But let me tell you something. I am not afraid of death or whatever comes because I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Amen. And that is the promise that God has given His children, and we can stand on it, and as they say today, and I'm being cool, take it to the bank. Now, look at this. Here's another one, verse number 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Man, I love that. It must be important. When the Word of God says one thing, you ought to check it out, because evidently it's priority. Amen. And so here is the house of the Lord, this wonderful place we come to worship. Well, really, there are three houses we're involved in. Number one, the first house is this one. This house here just turned 80 years old this last August. And, boy, it's different, you know. I find myself sometimes getting up off of my recliner and I rock. Now, the recliner doesn't rock so much, but I do. And I, about three rocks, and I can just shoot right out of there like coming, you know, in a hurdle race. Just, I'm gone. I notice that kind of taking place a little bit. So I try to take care of this house, amen? We need to take care of this house. The only one we'll ever have here, so take care of it. And then there's my house where I live. 6813 Willoughby Court. Y'all just come by any. Don't all come at once. Come on. But that's my home. That's my castle. I've been there 43 years. I know it like the back of my hand. That's where I can come in, take my coat off, throw it on the dining room chair for about 5 minutes, something like that, till Betty discovers it. She says, why don't you hang that coat up? Get less wrinkles if you'll do that. Okay, I got that. And then there's this house, God's house. Amen. And I don't have to tell you, this is beautiful. And I don't have to tell you that it cost to keep it going. But I can tell you that God loves this house. He does. He is the creator of all things. And I want to tell you today, God has something special in store for people that love His house. And I know you can stay home and watch, I know. But there's nothing like going to church and seeing people. Going and rubbing shoulders with people that will pray with you, that will love you, that will care about you. That is important. And God said it's number one priority in His economy. I believe that. I believe that. Now, I've had some great times in church. My first church, it would seat about, I think, 100 maybe, if we squinched. Y'all use that word here, squinched. I'm from Arkansas, so that's what we call it. Where you get close and slide in together. And it was an unusual experience for me, my first church. And so I used to want to always visit with the people. And my office was back over here in this corner, and the pulpit was up there. So I would come in to the church sometimes and practice getting from my office to the pulpit. And say, well, what was up with that? Well, I'll tell you what was up with it. I got to where when I'd come out of my office, I'd stop and pat old Bill on the back. I'd say, Bill, how you doing today? Well, my back is just killing me. I don't know whether I can stay the whole service or not. I'm hurting some. Oh, well, Bill, bless your heart, man. I'd stop with Carl. I'd say, Carl, how's your week going? It's been going all right, but I got something wrong with the throat. I can't hardly swallow. I'm kind of sore, and I don't think I can sing at all today. But I'm going to try to stay in the service if I can. Well, thank you, Carl. God bless you, man. Geneva, how are you? Oh, Pastor, I got a headache. I think it's a migraine. And I hope it's not too loud in here today. But I if I don't look at you, it's because I got my eyes closed to stop the pain. I want to tell you, folks, by the time I got to the pulpit, my back was starting to hurt. I was that nuke, as one old boy in Arkansas used to say, that nucleus was building up in my throat. And every word I said, my head, it's just starting to pound, throb. I said, my goodness, I don't know whether I can preach or not. I may faint. And so what I did, I'd come out of my office. Now listen, I was only 23, so you got to understand. And I'd head for that pulpit. Good morning. All right. You know what I'm talking about? There's no place I'd rather be than in the house of God. I'm serious. And I've been there a lot. I've spent my life in the house of God. So, number one, love God's house. It'll keep you from fainting. Number two, look at verse 5. In the time of trouble, we all have them, He'll hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Oh, man. I want you to know that God is rock solid. Rock solid. Yes, He is. When everything else is shifting and all changing and all, and it's changing today, folks. It's changing in so many ways, and some of them affect us, some of them maybe not as much. But God does not change. Amen. What He has done, He still does. What He does, He will always do, because God is a God that is solid, and you can count on that, and it will keep you from fainting. Hallelujah! He's on our side. Look at verse number 6. So, love the wonder of being able to have solid footing in Him. Amen. And then in verse 6, now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Man, I love worship. I love praise. Praise to me is what we did this morning. Worship is more encompassing. Worship is something that you do tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Here in the house of God, we praise Him for what He does in our lives all week long. But out there, we praise Him for who He is, an ever-present help in time of need. That's the God that we serve, and we praise Him for that all week long. Hallelujah. So, praise and worship. I loved it. Thank you, Steve. Man, that was blessed. That was blessed. That was anointed worship to God this morning. And you all jumped in there and helped them do it. That's what it's about. We do it together. We're a body of believers. We're corporate people. And God brings us together to praise and worship and adore His matchless name. So, love, praise, and worship. Oh, man. When they get up and start the worship, and they say, let's join in and worship the Lord, and some people go. Oh, you know what I'm saying, don't you? Yeah. Look at verses 7 and 8. These are great, and they're so important. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me and answer me. Look at verse 8. When thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Love for prayer. 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 The privilege of prayer. I was raised with an 18-month-old younger brother. 18 months between us. And how do you explain this? I can't. I couldn't wait to preach. He couldn't wait to get away from home. Amazing. I don't, I don't know how to explain that, but it happened. You know, salvation and a walk with God is individual. Everybody's got to do it or you don't have it. You can't ride somebody else's coattail. You can't let somebody else pull you along. No, sir, you've got to have that wonderful experience with Jesus Christ for yourself. That's what will change your life in your time of need, is when you love to seek His face. Amen. So, Larry, at 18 years of age, took off for California to make $1 million, and I think he probably did. And I took off for Bible school when I was 18. Larry just went from bad to worse. He got to drinking, and he got to running with the wrong crowd, and finally it ended up that he and his girlfriend drove into Reno, Nevada, true story, and had a drive-through wedding, sitting in the car. I'm serious. You drove into the little thing, and a guy was standing there and said, "Can I help you?" "We want to get married." "Okay, here's some papers. Fill these out, sign your name." They did. "Do you take him?" "Yes." "Do you take her?" "Uh-huh." "Mr. and Mrs. Garrison, have a great life." That's the way they got married. I'm serious. Then they went back to San Jose where they lived. And she went back to her parents' home, and Larry went back to his apartment. And nobody knew she was pregnant until, well, you know. So when the baby was born, then they moved in together. They were married. Well, a few years went by, 3.5 years to be exact. And Larry wrote my dad a letter and said, "I hope I never have to hear you preach again." Now, you'd have to be a preacher and have a heart for ministry to know how that would make you feel. And I had one of the greatest dads that ever lived. I mean, I love that man. He was as close to perfection as I've seen on this earth. And I mean that. So what do you do? We prayed, we prayed, we prayed. God, do something for Larry. And I tried to feel what my dad was feeling. I was traveling as an evangelist then, and we'd be home every once in a while, and we'd have prayer meetings for Larry. I've seen my dad pray till the floor was wet with his tears. But let me tell you something. God answers prayer. And one day the phone rang, and I was home, my wife and I. And it was my brother Larry on the phone. And he said, "Dad, the doctor has just left the hospital room, and our daughter Sherry's there, and she has children's diabetes in the worst stages, and they don't know whether she's going to make it or not." And then he said this, "Dad, would you pray?" "Yeah. Would you pray?" Pray. Better believe we prayed. I just say to any of you here today, if you've got a situation like that and somebody you love, don't stop praying. Don't stop. Never. And so we prayed. Well, Sherry turned 62 last week, so she's doing fine. God answered prayer. But the girl he married was from a staunch Roman Catholic church, and they were amazing people. She had two aunts that were nuns in a convent, and they were dedicated to their faith and so on. And I don't question that's between them and God, but I know one thing. Nancy, his wife, found Jesus in an Assembly of God church in San Jose, California, called Bethel. And she became a child of God. And my dad and I baptized her in water back in Arkansas one day when they were there on a vacation. And she came up out of the water speaking in a heavenly language as the Spirit of God gave her utterance. And she became a Spirit-filled child of God. Amen. God answers prayer. So about 5 years ago, I got a call from my brother Larry, and he said, "I'm dying, Johnny." He was in the hospital, and when his wife got saved, he woke up and gave his heart to the Lord and became a wonderful Christian played the organ in church, etc. And so he called me and he said, I'm in the hospital. And he said, I've already told my son, Richard. He said, tomorrow morning I want a shampoo. I want a shave. I want a shower. I want some cologne, he said. And I said, well, man, where are you going? He said, well, they tell me that I may meet Jesus any day. And he said, if I do, I want to look good. I want to smell good, and I want to feel good. Amen. And 5.5 hours later, he went to be with the Lord. But God answered prayer. Now, we could have fainted. We could have said, oh, Larry's gone. It's all over. Way back there when he was doing all his stuff. We could have just given up, but no. Don't do that. David said, I had fainted unless... Don't forget that part in there because it's there. And this is what he says in verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. There it is. That's it. It is that promise of God that when we put our faith and trust in Him and we believe with everything we have and... You know, somebody said to me the other day, said, how much faith do you think you got to have? I said, I don't know. Maybe how much grandma had when she cooked. My grandma used to cook enough for Cox's Army. Anybody ever know Cox? I never did. Never knew the Army, actually. But it was a lot of food. And grandma cooked like this, a pinch of that, a pinch of this, a pinch of something. I guess if you have a pinch of faith, you can come up with quite a meal. And it'll make you strong and carry you through. Amen. And so God wants us to believe, to see His goodness in the land of the living. Whatever it is going on in your life right now, this morning, this very moment, as Pastor Bill has already instructed us, and he was right on with that. The Spirit of God's in this place, and He's saying things to us. Grab it. Stand on it. Walk with it. Live with it. Let God be everything that you need in your life because He is a powerful God that will meet every need that you have. Hallelujah to His name. And then last of all, look at the last verse. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He'll strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Good courage. Oh, man. Now, there's quite a bit in the Bible about fainting, you know. There is. Isaiah 40 talks about people that run, not be weary, walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord, He'll renew your strength, mount up with wings as eagles. All of that stuff. Isaiah 40 tells us that if we do that, we won't faint. Wait on the Lord. Luke 18:1, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to... Anybody know what it says? Faint. Always pray. Don't faint. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1 makes this statement. I love it. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. You know, sometimes I've prayed, Lord, I need your mercy. Amen? Have you ever prayed, Lord, have mercy? There's a lot of things can cause you to pray like that. Might be a bad meal, bad car, bad gas that you put in your car that turns to water when it hits the carburetor and it goes, that's no good. But wait on the Lord. We have this ministry God has given us. And Galatians 6:9 makes this marvelous statement. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap not, or ye shall reap if you faint not. Amen? Yeah. Amen? God has all these promises for us. So, let me ask a question again. How many have ever felt faint? Sure we have. But God. Hallelujah. But God. Now, I want to say to First Assembly of God in Bedford, Indiana this morning, doesn't matter what the circumstance is, God is faithful. And take that psalm and put it on your spiritual refrigerator right up there, because God loves you and you don't have to faint. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord.